Now on MormonChannel.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Questions and Answers. You provide us with the questions, and we do our very best to try to answer those questions. If you would like to send us a question, please send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Let me give you that one more time, mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We received a question a few weeks ago that says, quote, "What does it mean when the scriptures talk about us judging with righteous judgment?" Close quote. This is truly a wonderful question. And to start with, I would like to go to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. There the Savior establishes his command regarding judgment. He said, starting in verse 1, quote, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." Close quote. That from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is the commandment that the Lord has given, which he expects us to understand and apply. President Monson spoke about the courage needed to live this commandment.
May I speak first about the courage to refrain from judging others? Or you may ask, does this really take courage? And I would reply that I believe there are many times when refraining from judgment or gossip or criticism, which are certainly akin to judgment, takes an act of courage. Unfortunately, there are those who feel it necessary to criticize and to belittle others. You've no doubt been with such people as you will be in the future. My dear young friends, we are not left to wonder what our behavior should be in such situations. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Savior declared, "Judge not." At a later time, he admonished, "Cease to find fault one with another." It will take real courage when you're surrounded by your peers and feeling the pressure to participate in such criticisms and judgments, to refrain from joining in.
That's President Thomas S. Monson from the April 2009 General Conference. Later on in the New Testament, the Lord provides an important clarification regarding judgment. He said, quote, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment," close quote. That from John chapter 7, verse 24. So how can these two admonitions of the Lord be reconciled? Elder Bruce R. McConkie addressed this by saying, quote, "This is not a prohibition against sitting in judgment either on one's fellow man or upon principles of right or wrong, for the saints are commanded to do these very things. The sense of meaning of our Lord's utterance is, condemn not that ye be not condemned. It is, judge wisely and righteously, so that ye may be judged in a like manner." Judgment is one of the attributes of godliness which the saints are commanded to seek. "Take heed," Mormon taught, "that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore, ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with the same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged." Close quote. That from Moroni, chapter 7, verses 14 through 18. According to Elder McConkie, righteous judgment is an attribute of our perfect God, the one which we should seek to emulate. President Joseph F. Smith described the ability to judge righteous judgment as coming out of a true understanding of the Scriptures. He said, quote, "I think that here, in the words that I have read, are some plain fingerboards, some plain, simple guideposts. And if we, as Latter-day Saints, believing as we do in the divinity of this book, which was translated by the gift and power of God, through the inspiration that came to the prophet Joseph Smith, would read these words as believing children should read, with understanding, in faith, being sure that God inspired them, and then put them into practice, I think it would not be long before we could do away with appeals to bishops' courts and high councils, and with the present necessity for teachers' visits, to try to settle difficulties among Latter-day Saints. I believe every man would be his own judge, for he would judge righteously, because he would judge in the light of truth, in the light and justice, not in selfishness, not covetously, but in the light that has come from the heavens in the latter days through revelations from God." Close quote. Once we understand the command to refrain from certain types of judgment and engage in others, we must determine when and how the Lord expects us to judge. Some of the instruction that we have received from our leaders comes from a talk on the subject given by Elder Dallin H. Oaks. Elder Oaks divided righteous judgment into a number of different categories, all of which describe what it means to judge righteous judgment. First, he explained that we must avoid any form of final judgment. He said, quote, "We must, of course, make judgments every day in the exercise of our moral agency, but we must be careful that our judgments of people are intermediate and not final. Thus, our Savior's teachings contain many commandments we cannot keep without making intermediate judgments of people. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Beware of false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And go ye out from among the wicked." We all make judgments in choosing our friends, in choosing how we will spend our time and our money, and of course, in choosing an eternal companion. Some of these intermediate judgments are surely among those the Savior referenced when he taught, "The weightier matters of the law include judgment." First, a righteous judgment must, by definition, be intermediate. It will refrain from declaring that a person has been assured of exaltation or from dismissing a person as being irrevocably bound for hellfire. It will refrain from declaring that a person has forfeited all opportunity for exaltation or even all opportunity for a useful role in the work of the Lord. The gospel is a gospel of hope, and none of us is authorized to deny the power of the atonement to bring about the cleansing of individual sins, forgiveness, and the reparation of life on appropriate conditions. Close quote. Next, Elder Oaks explained that our intermediate judgments must be guided by the Spirit to be true righteous judgments. Elder Oaks said, quote, "A righteous judgment will be guided by the Spirit of the Lord, not by anger, revenge, jealousy, or self-interest. The Book of Mormon teaches, 'For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is plain, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that he may know good from evil." Close quote. In the October 1999 General Conference, Elder Richard G. Scott taught us that by seeking the Spirit in such situations, that we are conforming more fully to the doctrine of the Lord.
The Lord has placed currents of divine influence in your life that will lead you along the individual plan He would have you fulfill here on earth. Seek through the Spirit to identify it, carefully follow it. Do not be overcome by concentrating solely on today, its challenges, difficulties, and opportunities. Such preoccupations must not totally consume your life. Oh, how He would encourage you to weave deeply into the fabric of your soul the recognition that your life now is a part of a much bigger plan the Lord has for you. You lived part of it in the premortal existence. You were valiant there and came here because you wanted to grow and enjoy greater happiness. What you decide to do now will affect how well you fulfill that divine personal plan he has for you. I do not fully understand how it is done, but this divine current does not take away your moral agency. You can make the decisions you choose to make. Should your choice be wrong, there's a path back, repentance. When its conditions are fully met, the atonement of the Savior provides a release from the demands of justice for the errors made. He said, I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. It is wondrously simple and so incomparably beautiful. As you continue to live righteously, you will always know what to do. Sometimes the discovery of that may require significant effort and trust on your part. Yet, you will recognize what to do as you meet the conditions for such divine guidance in your life. The more closely you conform your life to the doctrine of the Lord, the more capacity you'll have to do what the Spirit inspires you to do.
That's Elder Richard G. Scott. You're listening to The Mormon Channel from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is The Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, what does it mean when the Scriptures talk about us judging with righteous judgment, close quote. Elder Oaks reminds us of another important point, the fact that the Lord invites us to make judgments based on our purview. We will not be expected to make judgments outside of our stewardship, whether as parents, as leaders in the auxiliaries of the church, or as teachers of a gospel class. We will be inspired to make the judgments that are necessary and proper to fulfill our responsibilities before the Lord. Regarding this truth, Elder Oaks explained, to be righteous, an intermediate judgment must be within our stewardship. We must not presume to exercise and act upon judgments that are outside our personal responsibilities. Some time ago, I attended an adult Sunday school class in a small town in Utah. The subject was the sacrament, and the class was being taught by the bishop. During class discussion, a member asked, what if you see an unworthy person partaking of the sacrament? What do you do? The bishop answered, you do nothing. I may need to do something. That wise answer illustrates my point about stewardship in judging, close quote. President Brigham Young also spoke of this command to judge within our stewardship. He said, quote, it's true that under some circumstances, we may have to look at the others. For instance, here is the High Council. They are called to act upon the cases that come before them. Of course, their duty then is to examine into the conduct of their brethren and sisters. And this is required of them. And if they do it without prejudice, without selfishness, by the power of the Holy Ghost, divested of every improper feeling, judging righteous judgment between man and man, the performance of this duty will purify them just as much as any other labor, close quote. Elder Oaks continued by explaining that our judgment should wait in reserve until we receive sufficient facts to make the necessary judgment. He said, quote, we should, if possible, refrain from judging until we have adequate knowledge of the facts. In an essay titled Sitting in the Seat of Judgment, the great essayist William George Jordan reminded us that character cannot be judged as dress goods by viewing a sample yard to represent the whole bolt of cloth. In another essay, he wrote, there is but one quality necessary for the perfect understanding of character, one quality that if man has it, he may dare to judge, that is, omniscience. Most people study character as a proofreader pores over a great poem. His ears are dulled to the majesty and music of the lines. His eyes are darkened to the magic imagination of the genius of the author. That proofreader is busy watching for an inverted comma, a misspacing, or a wrong font letter. He has an eye trained for the imperfections, the weakness. We do not need to judge nearly so much as we think we do. This is the age of snap judgments. We need the courage to say, I don't know. I'm waiting for further evidence. I must hear both sides of the question. It is this suspended judgment that is the supreme form of charity, close quote. This principle was taught with power and authority by King Benjamin in the Book of Mormon. In the fourth chapter of Mosiah, it reads, quote, "Perhaps thou shalt say, the man has brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perisheth not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance?" Close quote. That from Mosiah chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. We must not be inclined to jump to judgment. Judging others for any reason should not be something which we rejoice in doing. Whenever possible, we should temper our judgment with mercy. President Monson in the April 2009 General Conference spoke of the commandment to love and to be merciful towards others throughout this process.
Mother Teresa, a Catholic nun who worked among the poor in India most of her life, spoke this truth: if you judge people, you have no time to love them. A friend told me of an experience she had many years ago when she was a teenager. In her ward was a young woman named Sandra who suffered an injury at birth, resulting in her being somewhat mentally handicapped. Sandra longed to be included with the other girls, but she looked handicapped. She acted handicapped. Her clothing was always ill-fitting. She sometimes made inappropriate comments. Although Sandra attended their mutual activities, it was always the responsibility of the teacher to keep company with her and to try to make her feel welcome and valued, since the girls did not. Then something happened. A new girl of the same age moved into the ward. Nancy was a cute, red-headed, self-confident, popular girl who fit in easily. All the girls wanted to be her friend, but Nancy didn't limit her friendships. In fact, she went out of her way to befriend Sandra and to make certain she always felt included in everything. Nancy seemed to genuinely like Sandra. Of course, the other girls took note and began wondering why they had never befriended Sandra. It now seemed not only acceptable, but desirable. Eventually, they began to realize what Nancy, by her example, was teaching them, that Sandra was a valuable daughter of her Heavenly Father, that she had a contribution to make, and that she deserved to be treated with love and kindness and positive attention. By the time Nancy and her family moved from the neighborhood, a year or so later, Sandra was a permanent part of the group of young women. My friend said that from then on, she and the other girls made certain no one was ever left out, regardless of what might make her different. A valuable, eternal lesson had been learned.
That's President Thomas S. Monson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. It's a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you have a comment for the Mormon Channel or you'd like to comment on this episode, you can send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We received a question that says, quote, "What does it mean when the scriptures talk about us judging with righteous judgment?" Close quote. Part of judging with mercy and love is learning to apply a righteous standard. Of the difference between a righteous and wicked standard in judgment, Elder Oaks said the following, quote, "A final ingredient or principle of a righteous judgment is that it will apply righteous standards. If we apply unrighteous standards, our judgment will be unrighteous. By falling short of righteous standards, we place ourselves in jeopardy of being judged by incorrect or unrighteous standards ourselves." The fundamental scriptures on the whole subject of not judging contains this warning. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Close quote. It is often required of us to forgive in the midst of judgment. The Lord is perfectly equipped to judge our hearts and to likewise forgive our sins. We should seek after this righteous example in our own limited judgments. Elder Oaks explained this point by saying, quote, "Forgiveness is a companion principle to the commandment that in final judgments we judge not in the intermediate judgments we judge righteously. The Savior taught, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." That from Luke chapter 6, verse 37. In modern revelation, the Lord has declared, "I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men." Close quote. One point emphasized by Elder Oaks, which can help us judge righteous judgment, is the mandate that whenever possible, we must judge situations and not people. In his article, Elder Oaks said the following, quote, "A fifth principle of a righteous intermediate judgment is that whenever possible, we will refrain from judging people and only judge situations. This is essential whenever we attempt to act upon different standards than others with whom we must associate. At home, at work, or in the community. We can set and act upon high standards for ourselves or our homes without condemning those who do otherwise. For example, I know of an LDS family with an older teenage son who has become addicted to smoking. The parents have insisted that he not smoke in their home or in front of his younger siblings. That is a wise judgment of a situation, not a person. Then, even as parents take protective measures pertaining to a regrettable situation, they need to maintain loving relations and encourage improved conduct by the precious person." Close quote. In a different talk given in conference, Elder Oaks spoke of this principle in regard to our callings in the church. From the October 2007 General Conference, here's Elder Dallin H. Oaks.
"Members of the Quorum of the Twelve have stressed the importance of exercising inspired judgment in church programs and activities. Elder L. Tom Perry taught this principle in our first worldwide leadership training meeting in 2003. Counseling these same leaders in 2005, Elder Richard Scott said, quote, "Adjust your activities to be consistent with your local conditions and resources. Make sure that the essential needs are met, but do not go overboard in creating so many good things to do that the essential ones are not accomplished. Remember, don't magnify the work to be done, simplify it."
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. As we follow these principles outlined by Elder Oaks to judge intermediate judgment, seek the Spirit, judge within our stewardship, reserve judgment without facts, judge with a merciful standard of righteousness, forgive those whom we judge, and judge situations over people, we will be blessed with a keen and righteous judgment. Our faith will grow, and our capacity for righteous judgment will increase. From the April 2007 General Conference, Elder Neil L. Anderson explains this righteous transformation in the following terms.
Faith is not only a feeling, it is a decision. With prayer, study, obedience, and covenants, we build and fortify our faith. Our conviction of the Savior and of His latter-day work becomes the powerful lens through which we judge all else. Then, as we find ourselves in the crucible of life, as Elder Oaks explained, we have the strength to take the right course. President Hinckley said it this way, "When an individual is motivated by great and powerful convictions of truth, then he disciplines himself not because of demands made by the church, but because of the knowledge within his heart." Are we sufficiently motivated by great and powerful convictions of truth? Do our choices reflect this motivation? Are we becoming who we want to become? It's true, isn't it? Then what else matters?
That's Elder Neil L. Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, we would love to hear from you. You can send that question in an email to mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. If you'd like to download this program, it's free. Just go to our website, mormonchannel.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.